Okay, I think we can get started. Kim, could you start the recording, please?
Recording through on.
You? Yep. Thank you. So, welcome to this first call of the Working Group on Retirement of CCTLDs. And thank you for joining. It is, say, the reason for having this call is more or less as a prep for the fall meeting, so discuss a little bit about the rules of engagement and provide you some background to material for those who haven't been involved in the drafting team for the charters, etc., and there are some people who haven't. So I thought it would be good to kick this off to get everybody up to speed. So if you, just for the record, if you want to raise, if you raise your hand, if you have any questions, do so or type in the chat. Excuse me, I'm fine. As you may have noted, one of the remarks was about transcript. As of the next meeting, the full meeting, we'll start providing a transcript as well within a reasonable time frame after the meeting, as this is just a preliminary call to get us started. We thought save some money and defer it to the first actual meeting. So welcome again. I'll take the we'll take the list in the Adobe room as people on the call. Unless is there somebody who is just online, so who is just dialed in and not in the Adobe room? Please let make your voice heard. If not, then I'm fine. So everybody in the Adobe room is present as. So let's start with the introduction of the PDP retirement. I'll make this slide scrollable to make it easy on you. I've circulated this slide this morning already, and it contains effectively what I wanted to introduce to you this meeting. So first of all, let me go back, and that's the starting point of this PDP, to the issue report on the PDP. As you may have learned and know by now, this working group, the retirement working group, is one of the two working groups under the single CCNSO policy development process, and the issues for the fulsome policy development process have been at a very high level described in the issue report, and the issues documented and in the issues report should be addressed and resolved through this PDP. The working method, as I just said, is are the two working groups. So the council decided not to use the mechanism or the method of task forces or any other means. Again, working methods, the reason was task forces are very cumbersome, and the community has most experience in dealing with through and working through working groups. So it was a bit of an obvious choice, but it is a conscious one from the CCNSO Council. The issue report also includes, say, General Counsel's opinion on whether the issues identified are in scope of the CCNSO, of a CCNSO PDP, and in scope of ICANN's mission, which are the two major criteria, and whether the say a policy in these areas, so on the retirement of CCTLDs and on the review mechanism, would have lasting value. And the conclusion of General Counsel was affirmative with respect to all these questions. So again, that is addressed in the issue report. Thirdly, or another point, is that the as a result of initiating the PDP, the GAC has been or needed to be ask for advice or opinion already on the issue report, and that's a spin-off because of the use of working groups. Yesterday, the chair of the CCNZO received the GAC opinion on this with respect to the issue report, and I will forward it to the working group, and as you will see in the opinion from the GAC, there is a sentence about their participation. Please don't, it's not applicable anymore. At one point or in the near future, GAC hopefully will participate as well in the in this group. There was a bit of a misunderstanding whether they've been invited, yes or no, but that's been dealt with. So that is upcoming as well. I will address this again in one of the next slides. The PDP also includes or the issue report also includes an overall schedule of deliverables and timelines. I will address it with respect to this working group later on, and the charters of the respective working groups. And in the background material, you'll you could see the reference to the charter of this working group. And finally, before I go into a little bit more detail, currently there is a public comment period going on the issue report. It is, the issue report has been adopted, but the comment is more, the comment period is more to inform the working group and later on the broader community on whether the issues identified, etc., were appropriate or need to be reconsidered, etc. So it doesn't change and it has no impact on the initiation of the policy development process, but the comments, if any, will feed into the, say, the work of this working group and the second working group on the review mechanism. So again, that has been taken care of. So the charter of the working group itself, of this working group. As I said, the charter is included in the issue report and it's drafted by community members. Some of them are on this call and it captures at a very high level the issues to be addressed and takes care of some of the rules of engagement. So there is a section on scope, which is relevant, the deliverables, membership, working method, and tentative timeline, which I'll address in the next slides. So the deliverables. The deliverables of the working group are effectively the interim paper and the final paper, and some progress report depending on the duration of the working group and updates to the CCNZO Council, which is more relevant for the chair and staff support than for the working group itself. The progress reports might be very and are very useful to inform the broader community on the progress made by the working group, and the interim paper and final paper are effectively the results and the recommendations with respect to the retirement of CCTLDs. There is a public comment period at least on the interim paper, at least 40 days, which is the usual time for public comment periods in ICANN nowadays. And if the working group requires this or think it's a good thing to do or feasible, there is always room for an additional public comment period. The final paper, which produced by the working group, will be included in the interim report by the issue manager. So, and that's, and the, it's not just this final paper, but also the final paper of the second working group on review mechanism. And this interim report will again be published, and this will provide the overall picture on, say, the PDP, and it's a requirement under the policy development process. will provide the overall picture and will be published again for public comment. This is the reason why, because say, if you look at Annex B, so that's the section in the ICANN bylaws relating to the policy development process, it speaks about interim report and final report by the issue manager, and that's the reason why the deliverables of the working group are called interim paper and final paper. It's a bit nitpicking, but at the same time it's to clarify that, say, the interim paper and final paper should not be confused with the interim report and final report. So the final report will be at the end submitted to the council and to the members for decision making. So that's what we expect to the deliverables of this working group in the broader context. If you look at, say, and this is a very tentative, I would say, very optimistic timeline with respect to the work of this particular working group, is so the working group has been created, completed by 15th of May, and as I said, awaits participants from the GAC and maybe one or two other groups. The next phase, and this is where we started, is where we start now, is to develop the interim paper, and I would say that process starts, or that sub-process starts right now in June 2017, and it would, and maybe I'm too optimistic, but you never know, hopefully by November 2017, so in 4 months, we'll have an interim paper for publication and for public comment. That will run at least 2 months. That's 40 days public comment. I assume 1 or 2 weeks summarizing them, and then a fulsome discussion by the working group on the comments received and whether or not to reflect in the, say, in the public comment report. Then, based on the public comment report, the working group is supposed to develop its final paper. And as I said just a few minutes ago, this final paper depends on whether there is a need, according to the working group, could be published for public comments again, or it would be submitted to the issue manager. And in the meantime, the second working group could start. And then there is the closure of the working group. Probably that is needed after the interim report has been published, in case the recommendations of this working group need to be adjusted and revisited, looking at if they are in the context of the review mechanism. So that's with respect to the tentative timeline. As said, very optimistic. Another item in the charter and relevant for you right now is to understand the membership structure. If you look at the way it's described in the charter, currently there are members. Members are related to CCTLD managers, and they are appointed by the CCNSO Council according to the rules of the CCNSO. Then there are participants. They are appointed to participate through other SOs and ACs. We have currently members from participants from the ALAC and GNSO, and awaiting participants from the GAC and ESSEC, if any. With respect to the GAC, I want to reiterate that, say, there was a bit of a misunderstanding about the communication between the GAC and the CCNSO, and hopefully that by the first meeting, the first face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg, the working group could welcome some participants from the GAC. There is room for observers. To date, there is none. And then there are experts, say, from PTI IANA. You can see them, they're all present. So that's Elise Gerrish, Naela, and Kim Davies. And an expert from ISO 3166, so that's As usual, it's YAP, and specifically because this is all around, say, the ISO 3166 codes, etc. So that's the composition of the working group and its membership. Now, moving forward on the working method or the rules of engagement. Most of you familiar with CCMSO working groups should not be surprised about this, but I still want to reiterate it. The intention is to have a call every 2 weeks. The call for a call for one and a half hour on a rotational basis, so everybody suffers in the different time zones. And I think in Johannesburg we'll revisit and come up with a schedule for the meetings between Johannesburg and ICANN 60. If necessary, the issue manager, so that's me and our staff, will provide a strawman document to start the discussion and to focus the discussion. But in the intention is that the working group takes his owns these and owes these documents and works on it. We'll hopefully say provide and that the working group members provide comments online, so by email, 1 week after the call. So if necessary, all can be consolidated, and the staff can circulate a red line version 3 business days before the next meeting. So effectively it means we staff will have 2 or 3 business days to consolidate comments, if any, received on a previous document. And again, and I think this is a very important rule for everybody to understand, say nothing will be adopted unless there has been at least 2 readings, this would allow, so to allow everybody to participate in the work of the working group without, say, the need to attend all and every call and without, to avoid any surprises. And again, in principle, there is consensus decision-making, so no difference between members and participants and or observers and or experts if it comes to, say, depending on the topic, with respect to the experts. Again, consensus is a bit like the this has been used in the FOI, the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, the die-in-the-ditch criterion. So by the full group and if necessary, and only if necessary and needed, there will be a vote, and a vote will be members only. But I think it will be a role for the chair and vice chair to avoid it as much as possible. And again, this is probably very important for keeping the community abreast of what's happening, is engage the broader community at face-to-face meetings in say, during ICANN and or other meetings. So I would say this is more or less the core of today's meeting, say, the basic rules of engagement. And I'll come back to this briefly at the next meeting in Joburg, just to make sure that everybody who was not present on this call has an opportunity to look at them and get familiar with them. So the next steps. It's next steps is, and probably the most important one for this group right now, is to nominate a chair and vice chair, preferably within 2 weeks, and please send them to the working group email list. You've received the invite for this call, so use that one. The reason for doing this in 2 weeks, within 2 weeks, the chair and vice chair need to be appointed by the CCMSO Council at the nomination of the working group membership. If so, if we could achieve this by the Johannesburg meeting, we need to have the names available in 2 weeks' time. But the council meeting is, I believe, it's on the 29th in the morning. So just before the next face-to-face meeting. The next meeting and the real first face-to-face meeting is, as I just said, on Thursday the 29th on, say, and the time is 10:30 until noon local time, so that's block two of the meeting. The meeting room is committee two, and there is, as always, remote participation available. And for the agenda, and this is a proposal for that kickoff meeting, I first again run through, say, the rules of engagement as a starting point. But secondly is, I thought it would be very useful for this group, is to run through the ISO 3166 rules again and ask Jaap to provide a explanation about the unassignment of codes according to the rules and procedures of the ISO 3166 maintenance agency, and maybe have a brief discussion about the terms and terminology in use, because some of you will recall that from the from the drafting team time, that say there is a lot of confusion around and inconsistency around the terminology used with respect to the retirement of CCTLDs. And secondly, maybe, and probably we'll work on that one as well, if time allows, an overview of the cases to date on retirement. Again, so we all share the same knowledge base and knowledge and understanding of what happened in the past and what happened actually as a starting point for further discussion. I think just a few more, one more side item I want to discuss with you is the tools available right now. Say there is a retirement web working group web page. You can see the URL, which includes a list of membership, the background material, the relevant background material, and it's, say, the web page itself will provide static information. So the working group also has a wiki space, and this one will use, say, to for as a kind of repository for working documents, presentations, and to keep the working group and broader community abreast of what's going on and how the working group is proceeding. Say, one of the things is not clear. We haven't decided yet, and that's something for the chairs to ultimately to decide, the chair and co-chair. Say, there will be recordings of these conference calls and of the meetings. If there is a presentation, etc., and the documents or presentation, we can share them through the web page and or the wiki space. It's probably easier to do through the wiki space, but yeah, you could, might be more difficult to retrieve for some. So that's something for future discussion. Looking at the conference calls, we'll use the Adigo Bridge, so the one we've been using this evening. There is a dedicated Adobe room. And as of the next meeting, so as of the June meeting, we'll provide transcripts of the proceeds of the meeting itself. That was about, say, the background material, etc., to kick off this working group. Any questions? If not, okay, there is Peter. Peter, go ahead.
Hi, Bart. Hi, all. I just have a quick question with regards to our upcoming face-to-face meeting in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Is it advisable that the members of the working group revisit all the material and the report of the FOI working preparation of the meeting?
I think, the good thing about it's always advisable. And the FOI might be useful. I would go for the retirement report or the delegation, redelegation working group. But that would be my personal suggestion. The FOI, and that's the, in a way, it's a good thing that we, and ROC 1591 is always advisable as well. FOI is advisable to get used to terminology like significantly interested parties, etc., which might play a role with respect to the retirement in future. The delegation, redelegation working group report, and especially the final one, is relevant because it documents cases up till 2011 and some of the issues. So that really goes into the specifics around the retirement of CCDLDs. And one of the major issues you need to keep in the back of your mind, currently there is no policy in place. There are only practices. And these practices are documented in this delegation, redelegation report, the final report. I hope this answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thanks, Bart.
Yeah, and if you have a chance, have a look at the, that's also advisable, have a look at the ISO 3166 website to understand, say, some of the concepts used by the maintenance agency. Because you will see that will play a probably an important role in the work of this working group as well. And the description of some of the categories of assigned, non-assigned codes, etc., of the different codes and the differences between the concepts. Any other questions before I do a recap of next steps? Yeah?
I'm muted. I just want to make a clarification that, although people will know that I have I'm also part of ESSEC, I actually have strictly been speaking this group for ISO 3166. So what I'm saying there should not be taken as a position of ESSEC.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jab.
I just want to say this.
Yeah. I made it clear that, as usual, you are on this working group as the expert on ISO 3166 as member of the major maintenance agency. Sorry. Any other comments?
Yeah, because I don't...
Yeah, go ahead, Jab. Jab, you're still on.
Yeah, I don't know whether ESSEC will act...
Yep, you're breaking up. If I understand you correctly, you don't know whether ESSEC will...
I don't know whether ESSEC will actually have somebody sit in here, and I might... So that's why I want to make this all clear up front.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. And I think it's clear. Nigel, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you, Bart. I'm pleased to see that we have one or two new faces stepping up to the plate to pitch in with this valuable work. What I'm going to suggest is that possibly at Johannesburg, but no later than the first telephone meeting afterwards, is that maybe we dedicate half of a call or half of a meeting to a kind of a making sure everybody understands some of some of the things that come out of the documents that have been mentioned in the chat, such as FOI, and then before that the Delegation and Redelegation Working Group. I think it would be helpful so that we all get up to speed very quickly. I don't want to see a little bit later down the road that, you know, we have people taking views because they don't quite know how we got where we got to where we've got, if you see what I mean.
And I think that that's Peter's question about which documents to read in preparation of the Joburg meeting is along these same lines. So definitely it's a good idea. And just to recap what's in the documents, and maybe we could use the face-to-face meeting as well. Say, I suggest, say, because, say, you got the, and I can add it to the agenda as well, we got 19 minutes in Joburg, is first a little bit lay of the land with respect to the documents, and then go into details around the ISO 3166, because I think we should use the opportunity at a face-to-face meeting to really get up to speed and to develop an understanding of what the ISO and MA is doing. Any other questions, comments? If not, I just want to again go back to next steps. So next steps is please nominate a chair and vice chair, so nominate and second one, and hopefully within 2 weeks. Next meeting will be in Johannesburg. The details are in the slides, and I've shared the slides this morning already, and we'll send out a reminder in 1 week's time. I've seen, say, questions around proposed schedule. Post-Joburg, we'll come up with that one as well and discuss it with you. Part of it, it will be the rotational basis to share the pain. And that's it from my end. Any other questions you want to ask, raise? No? In that case, thank you very much for attending this first call. It is a bit of a administrative session, I realize, but other sides, probably otherwise, you didn't expect otherwise. So thank you for joining, and hope to see you all in Johannesburg, either in person or on the call itself, because there is, as always, there will be room for remote participation. Okay, thank you, and bye-bye.